It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 44 degrees and raining. Today is Monday, April 7th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Sitka's economy is continuing to tick upwards based on statistical data. The latest issue of Sitka Trends shows a rebound in retail sales, unemployment, and personal income, paired with a decrease in the price of housing rentals. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Gary White is the director of the Sitka Economic Development Association, which publishes the Trends newsletter. Gross retail sales in Sitka jumped $10 million between 2011 and 2012. White is careful about trying to read too much into that statistic.
I'd attribute to a couple of different things. One, we've got the Blue Lake project was just kicking off then, and you've got contractors in buying lots of local stuff. You also have, we've got a lot of other construction projects happening around town. And inflation's part of it, too. We've got increased gas. You know, food prices have gone up some.
The increase in retail sales has meant an increase in sales taxes collected by local government. $400,000 more went into city coffers in 2013 than in 2011. Unemployment has also decreased a full percentage point since 2011. It now stands at 5.1%. That's over 2 points below the national average. But the statistic alone doesn't tell the full story. The Department of Labor reports Sitka's workforce has also decreased over the past 2 years by over 30 employees. That, plus small bumps in prices, says White, means that things may not be all that great for Sitka's wage earners, regardless of the overall numbers.
You look at little jumps and you don't realize what percentage that is. Like, for instance, the Sentinel went from 50 cents to 75 cents. That quarter doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's a 50% increase. You know, if you buy something that you used to buy for a dollar and now it's a dollar and a quarter at the grocery store, that's a quarter percent increase. And over a volume, that does add up.
Happily, per capita income is up in Sitka by over $1,000 from last year. And a bright spot, at least for consumers, is the cost of housing. The market for rentals is down over 8%. An efficiency apartment in Sitka now goes for $790, down from $860 last year. And there are corresponding decreases for larger units. Buying a home in Sitka remains an expensive proposition, though the average list price for single-family homes has come down by almost $150,000 over the last 2 years. Again, White is reluctant to perform too much analysis on a limited set of data. But like the rest of us, he can observe things happening in the community that aren't quantified by government. He talks about a conversation he had recently with City Finance Director Jay Sweeney.
What's the barometer of how the economy is doing in Sitka? Is it the downtown retail stores are flourishing? Is it the fish plants are jam-packed? Is it all the different construction jobs? And it's hard to manage. And one thing that he had brought up that was quite interesting was you look at these events. Like last weekend we had the Chamber of Commerce annual banquet sold out. The roller derby bout sold out. Number of different entertainment venues. You had the wearable art show a couple weeks ago sold out. And so folks are going out and they're spending money on entertainment and that disposable income type of things. But yet we've got empty downtown retail shops.
White says empty stores are a symptom of his biggest economic concern, leakage. He says shopping local and developing local industry are both critical to keeping more money in Sitka. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
To see a complete copy of Sitka Trends, visit our website, kcaw.org. The Sealeska Regional Native Corporation does not appear to be making much, if any, money. Its spring distribution to shareholders, which is basically a dividend, includes no corporate revenues. But as Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports, the details are not yet available.
Sealeska distributes payments to its almost 21,600 shareholders twice a year. In recent years, they've ranged from about $400 to around $1,100. The money comes from three sources. The largest is a pool of all 12 regional native corporations' resource earnings. Another is Sealeska's permanent fund. The third is profits from the corporation's businesses.
Usually there are. This year there isn't any operating revenue included in the formula.
Chris McNeil Jr. is president and CEO of the Juneau headquartered corporation. He won't say why Sea Alaska has no revenues to contribute, but he says the information will be in the corporation's annual report due out in May.
I can't really provide any details on it until we publish, and we've done that traditionally to make sure that there's no miscommunication about what is being transmitted to shareholders.
Sea Alaska is so opaque, they don't really share much about their finances.
Brad Flitch is founder and managing director of Fortress Investment Management, LLC. He's also a shareholder who is critical of Sea Alaska. He says even the annual reports lack detail. Earnings and losses are reported in sectors, so the reader often can't tell which individual businesses are making or losing cash. Still, Flitch says Sea Alaska's board was honest when it approved a distribution without corporate revenues.
I'll give them kudos for that, because that did take some effort on their part. Now what they need to do is hire a management team that can make that zero go away and actually turn into a positive number.
McNeil is retiring this summer, and the search for a replacement is underway. This spring distribution totals about $12 million. It gives most shareholders a $721 payment, but others receive only $57. The difference is that pool of resource earnings. McNeil says the biggest contributor is the owner of Northwest Alaska's Red Dog Mine.
At this point, NANA is a principal distributor, but over cumulatively, Arctic Slope has distributed more revenue than any other corporation.
Sea Alaska was a major contributor before its timber subsidiary started running out of trees. Most shareholders also belong to a smaller, community-based Native corporation. Those getting the larger payment also own stock in Juneau or Sitka's urban Native corporations. Those receiving the smaller amount are shareholders in village corporations from Yakutat to Saxman.
The portion of funds that go to tribal member shareholders who are enrolled to village corporations goes to the village corporation, and then the corporation's board of directors is entitled to decide whether or not some or all of those funds will be distributed directly to their tribal member shareholders or to retain them in the corporation.
There are several other classes of shareholders. Those only holding Sea Alaska stock get the full amount. Descendants of original shareholders receive the lower amount, and elders get an extra $57 on top of whatever they receive. All the amounts are based on ownership of 100 shares. That's the most common number, but some shareholders have more or different types of stock due to gifting or inheritance. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
The spring distribution notice and last year's financial report are linked with this report on our website, kcaw.org. The court challenge over Petersburg's borough boundaries is not yet over. The city and borough of Juneau has appealed to the state Supreme Court to reverse a decision by the local boundary commission on the northern boundary of the Petersburg borough. Juneau argues the LBC did not consider the capital city's competing claim to land in the northern part of Petersburg's borough, formed in 2013. A Superior Court judge in February affirmed the boundary approved by the LBC in 2012. Petersburg Mayor Mark Jensen says the latest appeal prolongs the process and will end up costing more money.
It's unfortunate. I think that they did. I'm hoping the Supreme Court will go along with the local boundary commission and the Superior Court's ruling, and it's the last appeal to the Superior Court cost Petersburg borough $30,000, so we can only recoup a third of that if you're on the prevailing side of the issue, which we were. So in my mind, it's just a waste of money, but I guess, it's just business. I can understand why Juneau would do it, I suppose.
Juneau officials submitted a petition to the Boundary Commission seeking to annex some of the same territory on the mainland between the two southeast communities. The contested lands are on the mainland from the middle of Holcomb Bay to Cape Fanshawe. Both sides made their case before the Boundary Commission in May and June of 2012, citing use of the land and water in the contested area by fishing fleets, tourism operators, and residents. Juneau's appeal to the Supreme Court argues the commission violated the state constitution by not considering a competing claim and not allowing evidence that capital city attorneys plan to present in an annexation petition. And longtime Alaska writer Nick Jans and photographer Mark Kelly have teamed up to create a children's book. Jans is a contributing editor to Alaska Magazine and has written several books, but this is his first time writing for kids, which Jans says was intimidating.
It took me 9 books to get up the nerve to finally write a kid's book, because kids are the toughest audience there is.
Once Upon Alaska is written in rhyming verse. While Jans is most known for his descriptive prose, his first publication was poetry, which appeared in Rolling Stone magazine. He also studied poetry in graduate school at the University of Washington.
My parents read to me Rudyard Kipling, Shakespeare, Longfellow, Wordsworth, Coleridge, you name it. And I grew up hearing that. And my mom was a musician, too. So I always had the music of words going in my head.
Once Upon Alaska, a kid's photo book, features 25 photographs by Mark Kelly that were shot mostly in Southeast over several decades. One photo dates back to 1976.
So it spans a large portion of my life, and some of my pictures of my kids in there, they happened to be in there because that's who I shot, and I wanted to put kids in the kids book, and they were 7 or 8 in those pictures, and they're now 25 and 27, so... It's a long span of pictures, including 3 or 4 pictures I shot last summer.
Once Upon Alaska is a new children's book released Friday, written by Nick Jans and photographed by Mark Kelly. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 44 degrees in downtown Sitka and raining. The weather forecast does call for rain throughout our listening region, as well as strong winds in many of our communities. Temperatures in the mid to upper 40s. We're going to rejoin NPR's Morning Edition. I'll be back with you at 18 minutes after the hour with a live local interview about the upcoming Green Business Awards. Stay tuned.